All right.
Take your time, Doc. Take your time.
Let's try this. We've been talking about a lot of stuff for the last few months. And I would be lying to you if I said I was extremely prepared this morning. Because the truth is, I wasn't. And I'm gonna bring y'all behind the curtain. Is that okay? Because sometimes, I mean, I know some people have heard other pastors talk about, you know, preparation process, all that kind of stuff, yak, 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 how they do it and all that kind of stuff. So let me bring you behind the third curtain. This is actually all involved in the message. And the message is, you know, titled More Than Storytelling, but I like telling stories. So just stick with me for a minute. I know it seems oxymoronic, but I promise you we're going to get there, okay? Amen. So let me bring you behind the curtain, behind the third wall, as they say. I write a whole lot of sermons in advance. That is why you see a lot of stuff well in advance. I write months in advance sometimes. I'm good for that because I'm a nerd. I'm a proud nerd. I don't make no bones about it. Yes, when I played ball, I used to hurt people, but I hurt people and I could, you know, add, subtract, multiply, and do stuff exponentially while hurting them on the field, you know. I'm a nerd at my core. Knowledge is my thing. I can tell you about stuff that just out of nowhere, you'd be like, how in the world did you even know that? You know, and I'd be like, well, I'm a nerd. I just take stuff in. So I write and I write and I write, and because of the method I use, it's easy for me to write. The method is called the dialectic method, and it's been extended upon by the late, great Samuel DeWitt Proctor. He used it, and he taught all his students the process. And it goes back to the dialectic of the Greeks, and he just extended a few things so that we're able to make some sense of our argument when we preach. I use it all the time. So it makes stuff easy to just go on. But I woke up this morning, and I was disturbed. Actually, I've been disturbed for a few days. And most people wouldn't probably know it unless I told them. But I was out of town. I had a good time. But if I'm honest, when I got back, all of a sudden, everything just seemed frayed. Life just makes you just tense. Have you ever felt your jaw get tight and you weren't clenching your teeth? Like, stuff just didn't make any sense. Things ain't going right at all. I don't know what it is, but maybe I need to take a for real vacation, and some of y'all are going to try to judge. Well, what was that? Well, it was a family reunion, and I had to preach. So, with borderline, it was family and work. So, I didn't get to do everything I wanted to do in New Orleans. Now, I did get to sleep, but I didn't get to do everything I wanted to do down there. So, when I come back, Just stuff everywhere. And you know, when good stuff is happening, people give me good news, I'm smiling, I'm like, yes. Thank you, yes, yes, yes. You know how you get out of the funk, you're like, yes, it's working, yes, it's going well, yes, yes. And then you forget that if God is opening up doors somewhere, there's foolishness waiting.
Yes, yeah.
And I must have forgot. Because I'm just so happy that things are happening. I'm tired, I'm whatever, but it's like, if good things are happening, it makes up for feeling exhausted. But then, you hear about people dying. You hear about unexpected deaths. And then I wake up and I read about someone getting shot for no reason on the south side, two blocks from Claire. Nobody I knew, but I was just, what's going on? I had cable installed since I've been back, and I did not know that they installed it in such a way where they ran the cord through my backyard. And I had to cut the grass. You know what happened. Nobody told me that they still had to come back so they could dig and make sure that it was okay to dig and make sure it was underground. Nobody said nothing. It just went worse, and people were starting to get on my nerves, and it got worse. I'm on a zero turn tractor, you know, and I just wanted to run over something else because I was just. And God must have knew, because here comes my father-in-law, who happened to be in town, who happens to be an electrician. And because of bad customer service and not being able to get nobody out for almost 3 days, here comes my electrician father-in-law, who happened to be in town. And suddenly, I had all my stuff restored in about 30 minutes.
Amen. Amen.
And I still didn't sit down with this properly to look over again what the heck I wrote. And I'm still frustrated while I'm trying to read it. And then God's like, okay, I'm gonna let you calm down. And then when I read it, I had to go back. Because this text is the side conversation about the story Jesus just told. That's what this is. It's the side conversation. And Jesus has great side conversations. And if we're honest in here, don't worry. I'm not gonna judge what your side conversations are like. Praise the Lord. Somebody's going to be honest. Look. I love you, Shelby. That's all right. Thank you for being honest. I'm not going to judge nobody about what their side conversations are. But if we're honest, side conversations are usually better than a regular conversation. That's when you really diagnose what's going on. When you go to the theater with somebody, go and watch the same movie, you do all this yelling at the, you know, if you go and see a thriller and you're telling that girl, don't go in, they're going to die. Of course they don't hear you. Throwing popcorn at the screen and all kind of stuff, acting like, oh my goodness, they're going to change their mind. No, it's a movie. It's already done. But you're there with your friends or whoever, and you're just having a good old time. But it's after the movie that you really talk about what you saw. It is, that's the reason for book clubs. You read the book, but you don't have any real depth to the thing until you what? Have the book club meeting. You don't really find out what's really happening until after. So that's what this is. That's what this is. Jesus having a side convo. Yes. Mm-hmm. And the side convo had more depth than the first time I read it. Because Jesus was setting everyone up to really understand his method, or the method to his magnet. Why teach using stories? Just y'all got your Bibles open still, right? Because y'all, look at y'all. Look, come on, y'all. Okay, let me act funny for a second. We's a Bible believing church. Y'all gotta have them open because you might miss something, and I don't want you to miss this. Because I promise you, I missed it. And it got clear this morning. Starting at verse 10. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Stop. I'm telling stories so I can place in front of you the secret to all this. There's a reason you're here. This is Jesus talking. You're here after I've taught this because you recognize there's more than just a story I'm telling. I am giving you the insight to the kingdom of God. Let's keep going. But for those outside, everything is in parable so that they may indeed see but not perceive. They may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. everybody ain't gonna catch on. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? Go back again. It said, I have given you the secret to the kingdom of God doing this. Fast forward. But if you don't understand this, how will you understand what's yet to come? Did y'all catch that?
Yeah.
I have given you. Now hear this. Hear this. This is why this whole message changed. So I'm going to probably just go straight through the text. Here's why this changed. Sometimes we have treated Sunday, the preaching moment, Wednesday, the teaching moment, Thursday's teaching moment, Sunday school, whatever, as just being a story. That's all it becomes. It's a good story with a great message, and somewhere in there we'll get it. Jesus is saying, I am making this so simple that I am literally giving you through this method the secret to the kingdom of God. The message of the gospel is so powerful that you don't even have to come up with a million different ways of presenting it. If you put it where people can catch it, they ought to be able to get it, and in their hands will be the secret of the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus goes forward, starts to explain stuff, right? So he said, let me break this story down for you. Because he was talking about sower to sow seed, right? So this is the analysis in the side conversation. Starting at 14, the sower sows the word. So the sower is the one that has the word. The seed is the word. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word was sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. Remember, some seed went on road, some seed went into good soil, some seed went into rocky soil, some seed went into thorns, right? Y'all remember it, right? So this is the analysis. The seed that hit the road, the parable says it was what? Swooped down and was taken up by birds, right? Jesus saying, here's the insight. The word that was sown to those that were like the road lost what was given them because Satan immediately jumped on it. Ain't that what it says? Okay. 16. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground. Listen to this one. The ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises, on account of the word, immediately they fall away. Some that hit the rocks got burned up. Right?
Yeah.
Trials, tribulations come. So people will say, well, if it goes on stony ground, they ain't ready. No. Jesus said, they actually received the thing. But they had too much stuff that kept it from what? Taking root.
Yeah.
And the text says that it actually was there for a while. But when persecution came, those folk fell away. There are people that love the word of God. You hear me? And how do I know? Some of them are some of the hardest shouters in church. I'm not talking here. I'm talking in generalities, okay? There are people that love what God has to say. But when trouble comes, because it didn't get down in them, that's the key. Jesus keeps saying the key is it didn't get in them. It got on them, but it didn't get in them. They love it and receive it with joy, but it didn't get down in them. So when stuff comes, they fall away.
Mm-hmm.
So then what else? And others are sown, are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word. Someone may need to hear this. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. In other words, the preoccupation for things and stuff overtake the ability of the seed to grow. That everybody ought to have ambition. You feel me? I don't want to be around people that don't have ambition, don't have drive, don't have the ability to say, I want to see more, do more, all that kind of stuff. No. Ain't nobody saying go into your life and don't have any drive. That's ridiculous. But also, do not allow the pursuit of what may be around you cause what God has promised you to get choked out. Can I say it like I feel it?
Yes.
Don't allow what everybody and everything else tries to tell you dictate to you that what God has put in you is not big enough and will not come to pass. Don't let folk tell you to settle when God says there's greater. Too many people settle. And when they settle, you know what happens, right? When you settle, that's all you get. Mm-hmm. And some people will say, I gotta keep going for this. And God's like, no, you ain't gotta be in the rat race all your life. I put something in you that's actually greater than this thing that you're on. If you trust me long enough and let me work something in you, this thing will grow. That's where it leads to the last group of people. But those, and it's only one verse for this for this group. Look at this. The seed that went into good ground, it only has one verse. Verse 20. Look at it. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit. Watch 30, 60, and 100 fold.
Yes, sir.
There's no other explanations. If you're good ground, you receive it, you let it take root, and you produce. That's why there's only one verse. It's simple. If you are good ground, it got in you. Wait, first it got on you, then it got in you, and then it grew out of you, and then you were able to what? Bear fruit. And not just any old fruit, exponential fruit. It says 30, 60, 100 fold. You have become a tree that bears much. Which means that the secret to the kingdom of God, or at least one aspect of the secret to the kingdom of God, is that you got to get this thing in you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Wait, on you, in you, and let it work so that something can grow what? Out of you. Otherwise, you're just ground having seed hit you all the time. This has got to be more than entertainment. Now, I'm back to church. Preaching has to be more than entertainment.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Teaching has to be more than entertainment.
Yes.
As my father in the ministry said until the day he died, he said that I want to preach until preaching comes back in style.
Yes, sir.
And what I believe he meant was, I don't want to be the kind of preacher that keeps on telling people stuff that they want to hear and that they feel like they want to hear, but I want to tell a story that actually brings about something that will be reproduced. We have a message, a gospel, a word that is not meant to just be for your entertainment pleasures only. It is supposed to get down in you in such a way that it ought to begin to change the composition of who you are. If you're good soil, you move from being good soil to being fertile soil that bears something. That is supposed to be the result. If you want to see this whole Southside change, it begins with something getting down in you, changing you so that you bear something that does not look like what is out there currently. I don't want to see people die anymore. I don't want to see folk get shot. I don't want to read in the morning before I come to church about how somebody got into an argument with somebody else, and the only reason that somebody is dead today is because a brother decided to defend his brother and shoot the person.
Come on.
I don't want to get up, come to church, and see folk in their own way reject people who want an encounter with God but feel that they're not worthy of it because they don't fit or look the part. Y'all got tight. It's right anyhow. If the seed is in you, something in you ought to change. Because it's supposed to what? Gain root. And when that thing gets down and begins to what? Take root. Your disposition is no longer focused on what you want, but it's focused on what God is trying to what? Get out of you. It's one of the things that's actually helped me get free as a believer, as a pastor, and as a preacher. There's a reason why, besides the fact that it's hot outside and I'm wearing a t-shirt, because this is my personality. I know when I wear suits, I look good, and I like wearing suits, and I know when I look good. I know how to put it together. I really do. But when it comes down to doing the work of the kingdom sometimes requires that you put on your Air Force One. And you go to work, and watch this. You put it where people can get it.
Yes.
Because now we're getting into the points and I'm almost done. The gospel, here's the thing. The gospel has the power to do three things at least. And the first thing it has the power to do is bring revelation from simple places.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's the power to bring revelation from simple places. Jesus said, if you can't understand what I'm putting out in a parable, you ain't gonna really get it at all. In the parable, y'all, I put the secret of the kingdom of God. Okay, you ready for this? So, it's kind of like cooking, right? Me and Fred got Louisiana roots. So when I test my gumbo for real now, I don't test it by, watch this, I don't test it by folk from the north.
Amen.
I don't test it by northern standard. And people be like, well, that's messed up. I'll be like, well, you don't understand. If I'm going to get my stuff right, I got to test it by what? A southern standard. More specifically, a standard according to where it originated. And the secret to gumbo. Some of y'all don't even know. But the secret is, somebody say it again. The root. It ain't the chicken, it ain't the shrimp, it ain't the crab, it ain't none of that. The secret is the root. If you mess up the root, you got a bad batch.
Yes, sir.
A simple thing of some sauteed vegetables, flour, oil, some seasoning is the secret to the whole thing.
Yes, sir.
And if that gets met, and if you don't understand that, you ain't gonna have no kind of gumbo nowhere. The secret to the kingdom of God was put in a story. It was not put in the healing Jesus did. It wasn't put in any of the stuff that he performed. It was literally placed in a story. So why do we make it so difficult? You know why we make it difficult? Because we're trying to prove that we are so intellectually sound. We try to prove that we are so above it all. And we try to prove that we are super spiritual and high and mighty, highfalutin in our spiritual stuff. And we don't realize that the gospel that saved us didn't come from no highfalutin sedity, nothing.
Come on.
Matter of fact, some of y'all, if you honest up in here, you didn't wait for anybody to quote no scripture. Some of you came running to Jesus because you had an encounter that changed your life. I can tell you the Sunday that I said yes to Jesus. I can even tell you the preacher that preached that Sunday. But can I tell you that my real encounter with Christ came not because of the hoop or the holler, but because embedded in that message, when I was 10 years old, I finally caught the clue about who Jesus was for me. Folk don't need to know whether or not you are fully capable of quoting everything. They just need to know that you know. He hid it in a simple place.
Yes, he did.
A major revelation in a simple place. Number two, the gospel has the power to raise the attention of the enemy. Now, if you want to know the evidence that God is working in your life, then you ought to check whether or not the enemy is lurking. I get nervous around people that have no worries, no cares, no nothing. I get nervous around people that say that life is just that good. And people be like, well, that sounds like you hating. I'm not hating. Some people, they've grown to a place where they've got peace in the midst of a storm and all that stuff, and I get that. But there's some people that all they do is fake the funk, that like they've never been through nothing. Those are folk that make me nervous. They tell you how they got themselves up from their own bootstraps, and they tell you their story about how they came from nothing and they became somebody. No God in it. No, God didn't do none of it. Folk like that make me nervous. And here's the funny thing: some of those folk go to church too. And if I can just take it all the way there, because I ain't got nothing to lose. Some of those folk that come to church with that kind of attitude, they make me real nervous, because they let me know that if God couldn't do it for them, then apparently they are the full manifestation of the Godhead sitting in the pew. But when I look back over my life, can I take a quick break for about 60 seconds? When I look back over my life and all the things that God has allowed me to do, the places I've gone, the degrees I've obtained, and being married, and this and that and the other, and knowing that I've been through trouble, trials, tribulations, ups, downs, all that kind of stuff. God had to do that. I couldn't do none of that. I was about to lose my mind and all that kind of stuff. I was about to go all the way on the other side of nothing and take my own self out. And God, what, stayed my hand? And, okay, cool. All right, y'all ain't going to shout. I shout for me. I got about 30 more seconds in this spot. When I think about all the times that I wanted to give up, not come, not get in the pulpit, not do this, not do that, not pick up a mic, not pick up another Bible, not do this, not do that, because folk were getting on my last nerve, and then God reminded me, I'm the one that called you. I'm the one that keeps you up. Yeah. I like folk with those kind of testimonies. You know that you wouldn't be here today if God didn't intervene. I like hanging around folk like that. They don't forget where the Lord has brought them from, and they can actually shout about the fact that every once in a while, when you look back over your life and you really think about it, you ain't got no other alternative but to say thank you. I like hanging around people like that. And you know what? Something you want to know, something else. There are folk in the world right now that are going through all kinds of trials, tribulations, and everything like that. And they want to hang out with folk just like that, because you got to know and you got to be able to have a witness that says, every now and then I was tested, I was tried, the devil tried it every chance he could, but I'm still here. If that thing got in you for real, you better look around the corner and know that the enemy is ready to try to pounce. But if it's down on the inside of you, what God put in you, nothing in this world can take out of you. The gospel has the ability to make the enemy aware. That's why I should have known better. This last week, I should have known better. I should have stopped, and I should have listened to my wife when she said, calm down, just be patient, it's going to be all right. I should have been all right when everything was happening around the corner and stuff is going well. I should have stopped and not only said, thank you, Jesus, but say, Lord, protect my mind, because I know there's something on the horizon.
Yes, sir.
If God is doing something in your life for real, there ought to be a disturbance on the way.
Come on.
If there ain't no disturbance, even in view, let me say it a different way. If I can shout about my blessing and see where God is taking me, and I can't see that the enemy is up ahead, then I'm too preoccupied with what I think is the end. But if that thing is really doing work, I should know he's coming. But the Bible says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will lift up a standard against him. When I know that this thing got down on the inside of me and I'm blessed beyond measure, I know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And every tongue that rises in judgment, thou shalt condemn, because it's the heritage of the servants of the Lord. I ought to have confidence that no matter what may come, God will take care of me. But in order for me to know that, I got to know that he's even lurking. The devil don't mess with anyone or anything that's under lockdown. He tries to disturb what is prospering. Last thing, I'm done. The gospel has the power to provide the potential of exponential growth. It provides the potential of exponential growth. Listen. One verse in that whole 11 verse section for one set of ground. Only one verse for the good ground. The good ground, it received it. Let's look at it again. Those that were sown on good soil are the ones who what? Hear, accept it, bear fruit. So the word falls on my ear, but then it has to make its way into my soul. It lands on my ears, but it has to make its way into my soul. Now people be like, well, you missed the heart. No, I didn't. The heart is the first level. The soul is where the roots really grow. I believe in my heart that the Lord loves me. But it becomes a different thing when I live like the Lord loves me. I'm going to say that one more time. Let's go through the process. I heard the Lord loves me. It got to my heart. That's first level. First level, my heart said, I believe that he loves me. But when it gets down and really rooted, you can't make me doubt that the Lord loves me. And when I walk that thing out, everything in my being bears the fruit of the love of God. Did you catch that? Okay, I'm going to say that one more time. I'm going to break it down. So on my ear, I hear that God wants to bless me. But when it gets to my heart, I believe that God wants to bless me. But when it gets into my soul, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Lord will bless me. So when God blesses me, I break through with the fruit of the blessing of God. Okay, I'm gonna try one more time. I hear that God wants me to prosper. It gets to my heart. I believe that God wants me to prosper. But when it gets into my soul, I know the Lord will cause me to prosper. So when it grows, I grow the fruit of what prosperity really looks like. Okay, let's close this thing out. I want y'all to get to a point where you understand that it's not just when it gets down into your ear. That's hitting it first. But when it gets to your heart, it begins to work. But my God, when the roots get planted down in your soul, you begin to come up. And when that tree comes up out of you, you begin to bear not one piece of fruit, but you begin to bear 30, 60, and 100-fold of what God placed in you through that seed. And I need to know, am I around folk that believe that God will not just bless you one time, but God will bless you beyond anything you can ask or think? Let me close it like I want to. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it been conceived in the hearts of men and women what God will do for you. The gospel has the power to make you exponentially great. Somebody ought to say yes. 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 Stop talking stories. This word's got power. If you want to see something change, become good soil. This is a bonus. You know how you become good soil? Stop listening to everybody trying to talk in your ear. See, they trying to spread. Thank you, Jesus. You know, it's kind of like when you try to take care of your grass and you try to feed your grass and all that stuff. And I didn't learn this right away. I learned it a little while ago, but it messed me up. When you go and get like food for your grass, I did not. Until somebody pointed it out to me, that depending upon the quality of the seed, it can have weed seed in it. If it's cheaper, and it got some weed seed in it. But if it's the real thing,
yes, sir.
Not a weed to be found.
Come on.
Some of y'all got some mixed food going on in your life, and you need to upgrade.
Yes, sir.
That means you need to get rid of some of these weed people around you. Folk trying to tell you how to prosper and they don't know the difference. People trying to tell you how to love Jesus and they ain't never encountered the Lord for themselves. People trying to tell you that you don't need to go up in there because of X, Y, and Z. People that keep on trying to tell you, well, it didn't happen for me, so how is it going to happen for you? Oh, and P.S., You need to ask God for some discernment about people that look like they in your corner, like they've been there forever, but they ain't nothing but trying to kill your stuff too. Upgrade your seed. Upgrade your seed. Because God wants to do everything promised to you in here. But you ain't going to see it if it ain't getting in you.
Amen.
Get this in you. It's more than a story.
Yes, it is.
This is your way out. This is your way out.